something went on here, something went on there. And
this time on TNT,
we play conundianity looking math.
We talk about what the Trump.
And we play a brand new game called Hello. It's all coming up right now on TNT.
It's 1993, Bod, part two.
Ryan Nugent Hopkins, number 93.
Did you like this song when it came out?
No.
I remember going to my cousin's wedding, and this was the big rage, and it was because they were Scottish, and my family's Scottish. It was like he knew the record deep, so everybody was getting all banged up.
I like it more now. I wonder if the Fru, when he heard it for the first time, was like, I mean, it's not bad.
He was mad because he didn't use he never used his accent full on.
Maybe I should.
Yeah. I told that Padrusa last time.
I told him I should use my accent because it's definite.
I know it would play.
Right? Vanessa Carlton put in twice the effort that these masks did because she would walk 1,000 miles. But there was two of these masks and they were only 500 miles each, so I guess it checks out.
No, because they wanted 50% of the royalties.
Because they were like, look, we did 1,000 miles first.
We took you halfway. If it wasn't for us, it wouldn't be you.
Or it's the exchange rate. 1,000 miles in Scotland is only 500 miles, or the other way around.
I'm gonna be for the half of your check for the rest of your life.
Wait a sec. Did the bare naked ladies use the back of the truck driving around music video before Vanessa Carlton?
I think. Oh, yeah.
Because she owes them royalties.
That was the Bruce cover, right? Lovers in a Dangerous Time.
Yeah.
Definitely. Those fragile bodies of touching days.
But remember, Vanessa Carlton had a piano in the back of the truck, bombing around the neighborhood?
That's definitely the Bare Nakeds were first in the back of the truck.
Vanessa Carlton is nothing but a ripoff artist, if you ask me. She's ripping off ideas for videos. She's ripping off the number of miles you're willing to do things for people.
Yeah. We're far away from that year, too. This is 1993, Bod.
I know. Carlton must have been around 2000 or something.
Yeah, this is 1993.
This is always, remember Groundhog Day when Bill Murray wakes up every morning? Imagine this was the jam on the alarm clock. Put it back to the start. Imagine it's a new day. Okay. Andy McDowell's gone. He wakes up in this tiny B&B and this happens. How many days before it drove you absolutely crazy?
Okay, I'm gonna be like the roommate that doesn't have to wake up, and you're like the kid getting up for college, and I was all banged up the night before.
And this is my alarm clock?
Yeah, and you have to get up, but I don't.
And worse yet, I let the alarm keep going while I get in the shower.
Yes, you're in the shower. Fuck off! Brad!
What? I'm in the shower. I can't hear you. Was that a 7-second F off?
Yeah, see, he was raging.
Do it again. Put the track back to the start and do it again. It's great. must be time for morning. Yep, there it is. Woke up before my
alarm. Ah,
still legally drunk? Put the pillow over your head?
From the sleep slumber. How about getting up by yourself and like it's like 5 in the morning and it's like day 4 and you're just not feeling it. So you're staring at your feet and you can't even talk.
And the it does have a hypnotic, repetitive quality, doesn't it?
Well, you're like, why the fuck did I pick this song to be the morning song?
Once there was this boy who got into an accident and couldn't come to school, but well, it finally made it.
Isn't there like something like birthmarks all over her body?
Yeah.
birthmarks all over her body.
They always used to be there.
It's that it was from old weather. God is smashing so hard. Morning.
What are some of the other ba-da-boo-da-de-do-ba-de melody lyrics?
That's a good in the booth. That's a really good in the booth. I'm going to look up the lyrics. Obviously, people be... had because it comes as a prompt. Okay, here it goes.
Okay.
Will you, you'll be the guy in the booth?
Yeah. Okay, Brad, let's just do that second part of the verse here.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
But when they finally made her, they saw birthmarks all over her body. She couldn't quite explain it. It always just a
bear. That's what it is. What's the next verse in that same spot?
Well, it's the bridge, but both girl and boy were glad, because one kid had worse than like, that.
Oh, those super loud low parts.
And Ellen with her arms.
Yeah. This is
the kid who had it worse than that.
He does the low stuff and everything.
There was this boy who's... parents made him come directly home right after school, and the wind, they went to the air or church.
You have to go to that point in the track to see how he hits church.
They shrugged and lurched all over the church floor.
Imagine the low part, like if he's doing the bah, all of a sudden the window starts shaking. Take it easy there, man.
Boy.
He must have felt a bit like a circus performer.
Here comes.
Keep it going.
Keep it going. I'm trying to, isn't there a quieter part where it's just the guy's raging because that guy's still in the shower and he doesn't want to get out of bed. Yeah, this one.
Here comes the sad part about the kid that had it worse than that.
The bass player has to all of a sudden take a dump because it's so low on stage. Jesus!
Why would they do that?
What?
Is that like, why would they do 38 bars of...
I don't know.
Is that a producer thing? Like the track is only 2 minutes long and we need to flesh it out?
Well, no, it's like 4 minutes almost a song. That's why.
Or they just
He's
want...
like, I want to have an extra 2 bars of ah.
They just want the listener to imagine how one kid could have it worse than that. That's why it goes there, right?
It's like, what are you guys recording in here? The whole building's shaking.
God.
Just Brad's laying down a lower harmony to this.
What's the deepest note you can do?
Huh?
What's the deepest note you can do? Yeah.
Tom Waits.
Was up.
How about this one? You remember this? Oh, wait, I gotta get it. I turned the volume down.
Do you know what? That's your mulligan. Let's be honest with the people.
Mulligan.
We recorded a full episode over the last couple of days, and I had my gain cranked.
Oh, yes.
My audio issues are legendary, but Timbot discovered that my gain was so cranked that we briefly debated releasing the episode But as you pointed out, people would have been livid after 4 minutes.
I sounded like that. John all sounds like his voice is burning like an egg on a hot skillet. Yeah.
That's what just did with the eggs.
Listen, Jonathan.
Jan Harden.
This song's about Mike Nelson, Wheels' dad.
No, it's not. In your dream, it is. You really want that to be true, that they had a history.
I do.
I would like to say two things.
What?
Jan Harden can sing, there's no question. And she's a great songwriter, too. She really found her audience and continues to deliver. And she does really nice harmonies, and I totally get why she is
funny,
the Canadian legend that
lady.
She is. Funny lady, too, yes.
Yeah.
Is it cool, and I'm not accusing, I'm legit asking, is it cool to name your song the same name of a song that is also part of the pop culture pantheon?
I'm not a fan of it.
Right? It would be like me writing a song called Love Me Do. Like, yes. Actually, there already was a song called Love Me Do.
Yeah.
So why don't
you pick
another
mine's
name?
Better. No, you wait to hear my version. No, I'm not a fan of that at all. That's just lazy if you're using already. Unless it's like something obvious, like a phrase like that's been used and there's no other way and that's the chorus or something. But
well, safe to say that's the case in I Would Die For You, the Jan Harden version. And she didn't use the letter U. But yeah. It is something that you see a surprising amount of the time.
Yeah, for sure.
Like my upcoming song, Mbop.
I would give it, Mbop. Is that 93?
No, can't be.
No, that's later. That's like 96.
Hey, as the maple syrup shots buds pointed out, today is the 41st anniversary of the sinking of the Edmund Fitzgerald.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Not a happy anniversary, but it is worth noting.
And it's almost Remembrance Day.
Yes, that's tomorrow. We had at Shiganoy Elementary School this morning, we had the Remembrance Day celebration. Shug read one of the lines from In Flanders Fields, did a great job. And it was very moving. There were three veterans there. And boy, when the bugle started playing and they saluted, instant waterworks, man. There's just something so heavy about that.
Nice.
And I think grief can skip generations. I think you can inherit some of that stuff from your ancestors and not even really know how.
Yep. No, it's cool. And I don't know. They should raise... If there were, I wish there were more ways of raising money for veterans other than poppies once a year. You know what I mean? Maybe Roots could throw down like a fancy jacket.
That'd be nice.
Sell them for a couple hundies.
That'd be nice.
Yeah. Just throwing that out there wouldn't kill anybody to throw some cash on not just poppies, because I'm sure they raise money, but they could raise more is all. Could use more.
Huh.
How about this jam from it came out the year before the record. But Unknown Legend by Neil Young. How about this jam?
Solid jam.
One of the better jams of all time, actually.
Was it recognized with awards in 1993?
I think so, yeah. The Harvest Moon was a pretty popular record, right?
Wow, is that old?
Yeah. This is a great version. This is the unplugged version.
It's so super sick.
Yeah. Just crushing it.
Dude, that's so super sick.
So, this album was great.
Yeah, it was sick.
Put this one on and just relax. Enjoy your day.
What else are you going to do with that track on? None.
With the rest of the day off.
It's nice. Anytime there are harmonies in a Neil joint, it sounds good too, which is probably not easy to do because his voice is not traditional. I think it's safe to say.
Yeah.
But I do enjoy myself a Neil Young harmony.
And this is one of his best.
Here's our next couple days, bud. Tomorrow is obviously Remembrance Day. We're gonna honor the occasion. and go watch the Veterans March. And then it's the girls' joint birthday party at a trampoline facility.
That's cool.
We're going to get our bounce on.
Really?
Like waiver styles. Yeah, like all the invitees have to sign a waiver.
Ooh, nice. Really?
So we get our bounce on.
So you don't do the old back snap and get in troubles.
Yeah.
Is it a trampoline, like where it's like you jump around the whole room and there are all a bunch of trampolines?
Yeah, it's like they issue socks and there are basketball rims and there's a lot of trampolines in the whole place. And there are people in referees' jerseys yelling at rambunctious children not to do certain things. It's that.
Are you going to do it?
I don't know. I don't know if I am. I think I'll be a corraler, but I don't know if I'll be an active jumper or not.
Really? I would like to see you doing that.
It might surprise you to learn that I am quite bendy, Jeremy Taggart.
Really? Wow. I'm super bendy.
Because I have a very long thorax and short legs.
I have no issue with the flexibility of one Jonathan Torrance. Hey, do you want to play that Canindianity?
Yes, I do.
Do you?
Canindianity. It's like Who's This Canadian Math, but from the 90s specifically.
And we'll look. How about this? I'll do a few clips, and then you can do a few on the next segment of just like
your
version. Because I got some set up here.
Awesome.
And they're pretty classic, and you have to guess who this.
Canindianity. Could be a person. Yes. Could be a band. It's a person, place, or thing.
Yes, in Canadian 93 specifically, in some of them, but mostly early 90s Canindianity styles.
I was still on Street Sense.
Yeah, you were banging right now at that point.
I was road banging.
And here's a show that was a staple on YTV.
Hit me.
And see if you can name this Canindianity Mask. Who's the host of this show? Remember hearing this one on Saturday afternoon when you're hanging out with nothing to do?
I would say Tarzan Dan.
Video and Arcade Top 10.
Ah. Who was the host?
Motor Mouth.
Don't remember it.
That would be Nicholas Pickles.
Drawing a blank, bud. Do you know what show
Nicholas
I just remembered?
Pickles.
I don't even remember the name of the show, but do you remember the one? His name was Quickles. Scott Yaffe, and he had a plaid sport coat, and he had really, really high hair.
Yeah.
Do you remember that? What show was that? That was on YTV, too.
Was it like a, kind of like a... Yeah, I do remember that. High hair.
Scott Yaffe had really high hair, and it was like, I think it was like a game show for kids.
Yeah.
And he married Jessica from Air Farce, who does Mean Celine Dion.
Oh, okay.
What was that show called? Stand By. It's Alive?
Okay, you have to guess who this Canindianity Mask is. This is a Much Music show.
Dan Gallagher, Test Pattern.
You get out of here, you get right away. Listen.
Yeah, I know that voice anywhere.
He was awesome.
Wink Yahoo is the name of the character played by Scott Yaffe on It's Alive. Wink Yahoo.
This is the R.I.P. to our bod, Dan Gallagher. He was a sweetie.
D-Jeezy, he sure was. He was a nice man. Did he like to party, John Candy Styles?
Yes, he did.
Did he?
He certainly did. He lived large, and he was large.
Did he?
I don't know about, in the loving way that John Candy did, sure.
Yeah. Like life of the party kind of way.
Yeah.
Like to crush a couple.
Like where are you guys going kind of guy.
Aw.
No, like at the end of the night, let's have a few more of that guy.
I love that guy.
Okay, you ready?
Yes.
Canindian Mask in situational.
Canindianity.
The Canindian Mask in this room would be Denise Donlan.
Okay.
The answering person. But this is a classic. Remember, they used to have the intimate and interactive things?
Yes.
There's your clue, okay?
Yep.
Well, I mean, it may do that. And I guess we're not particularly expert on it. All I know is that it's a lowest common denominator deal.
It's Australian.
Red here. And because of that, it means that the lowest standards, whether they're labor standards on wages...
Peter Garrett! Boom, bum, bar!
...standards on protecting the environment is going to take place.
It's Peter Garrett!
What happens in our own country when the global economy starts to sort of plant its hand right over a country which, maybe for one reason or another, is not as efficient at producing one thing as it is another. I watch the corporations completely forget about...
Oh, Peter, stop talking.
...factories in the places where they can pay people the lowest wages. That's the way these people think and operate.
Well, it's honest. It's funny, though, because that's 93, and that's what's happened in America.
Peter Garrett.
23 years.
We'll take a break on TNT and talk more Canadianity math, couldn't we? Come back.
Fucking right, eh?
Good morning.
Turn that off, please.
Turn what off?
Some of us can sleep in today.
Why do you want to sleep in? You're missing so much.
How do you wake up every day with this fucking song? Every fucking day.
Just listen to the first part. It's so peaceful.
No, no, I get it. I know it.
I'm going to say that scenario has happened.
I'm sure it has.
I'm sure with that actual song, some roommates have gone like to a shoving match.
Yep, for sure.
Hey, Bod.
Definitely. What, Bod?
I'm now in my mud room, just inside the door.
You sound fantastic, I
gotta
say.
Not only do I feel fantastic, but it's what you've always said is best, which is if you hang a bunch of coats around or just something to absorb the sound. So there's a log wall on one wall and coats on the other side. I think it sounds good.
I'm in my bedroom right now. I've mixed it up tonight.
Go on.
Yes. So the kids are downstairs with grandma and mom. They're watching a movie. So that's how it's going tonight for me.
Are you like Tiger Beat Styles lying on your side on the bed up on your elbow?
No, no. I'm sitting in a chair. No Tiger Beats. No like Hasselhoff. In-N-Out Burger.
Grandpa Jer sitting in a chair.
Doesn't he have his shirt off?
Yes.
Yeah. He's like, I wonder what's going on there.
He's just lying there like this.
He just has his pants on with no shirt. Oh.
It's hard to believe they were considered a one-hit wonder, right?
No, but would you sell your dad out like that, throw him under the bus, and like film him and put it on the internet?
I think it's safe to assume that Denise Hasselhoff, or whatever his daughter's name is, has had to put up with a fair amount of embarrassment. So that might have been her back at you, Dad.
Yeah, but is that a good move? Like to be like, okay, I'm going to throw out a viral video of the behavior that you're doing that I don't like.
I guess you're messing with your own legacy, because if you wanted to inherit some of those Hasselhoff bucks.
No, but I think as a person, like, would you throw your dad under the bus like that? Like, put it out on the, like, that's pretty fucked up, isn't it? As a kid,
Sting's kid like would. Phil Collins kid.
Well,
would.
No, for sure. Sting's kid would. We know for sure. Phil Collins kid. I don't know.
Phil Collins has been in the news like crazy.
Huh?
Phil Collins has been in the news like crazy. Because he's talking about how he quit drumming to be with his kids, and then his kids were gone when he got home because he was all wasted.
No, it wasn't. He couldn't play anymore. His back, like he couldn't sit in a drum chair without agony. It was a positioning of when he was drumming that hurt him so much he couldn't play anymore. That was the issue.
I need to get to the bottom of this because I feel like in interviews in the last couple weeks, he's been saying...
No, he went back home, like he retired for those reasons, and he started crushing the bottle, and then, it was just a big, he made a big black hole, and now he wants to go back on the road and try and get his shit together after his book and all that stuff.
Did you know he was friends with the Queen?
Oh my God, I love Donovan. Donovan's the greasiest.
Did you know he was friends with the Queen?
Like, Donovan is almost... You know, he's like the guy who wears the, plastic-looking jacket. Like, the what are those flyer coats they throw on with the soccer team on the jersey?
Yeah, like a...
With, and blue sunglasses.
Ugh.
And, like, a bad, like, it looks like a wig. Probably is a wig, you know, like those big pompadour...
But a like puka Rod shell Stewart. Necklace, because he went to Hawaii.
No, his hair looks like Rod Stewart, like, you know, the top thing with all the sprout, the kind of the pineapple slight birth. And then, like, the mullet at the back kind of hair.
And he drops That's the Donovan. First names.
Yeah.
I was with Rod and Vidal.
Yeah,
and
oh,
Mick.
For sure. Absolutely. And I like, he always like, usually we do a couple of scoops before we do work here. Is that all right?
I love the Island Boys that hit us up on social media saying someone asked them this summer, do you have any gear?
Yes. Yeah. Al Douglas. And yeah. Those guys.
That's Island for scoops. Do you have any gear, boys?
Do you have any gear? That's so greasy. It makes me want to puke.
I thought you were going to say it makes me want to do it. Do you have any gear? Gear.
When Andrea gets blind drunk and wants to stay up one Saturday night, she goes in and says, you guys have any gear?
Do you fellas have any gear? I've been looking around your fellas' apartment. I can't find the gear. Gear. I love that. Oh. Phil Collins was saying that he was friends with Lady Di, and he knew that she was having an affair on Prince Charles before anyone else did because he was such good friends with the Queen.
No way. He threw that out in his book?
Yeah, he was like, I was getting measured for a suit on Savile Row, and this car pulls up, and the window goes down, and it was Lady Di with Sir James, what's his name?
Somebody else.
They're like, what do you got? You fellas have any gear or whatever they asked them. And yeah. He, like, she was visibly out with this mask and she was with him for 6 years.
Yeah. Wow.
And PC knew that because he was rolling with the Queen.
PC has all the info. Wow, I got to read that book. It's got everything in it.
I want to imagine that President's Choice, the PC stuff at Superstore, is actually named after Phil Collins.
Phil Collins,
because
yeah.
of his relationship with the Queen.
Can you imagine him, like, sitting in, like, remember I was in that studio where they did the, where he did that album, the
Which
Face
one?
Value with In the Air Tonight.
Well, that was the other quote. He said, had I known that people would be talking about that Phil 20 years later, I wouldn't have done it like that.
Yeah, well, the secret of that whole thing, it was done, I'm trying to remember the studio, but there was a cement room in it, like a school.
Yeah.
It was the studio that, what the hell, Fleetwood Mac built for Tusk.
Wow. Hey, can you scat the drum fill from In the Air Tonight?
What do you mean scat? Like doo doom doo doom boo doom boo doom bum bum boosh. Like that?
That's it, isn't it?
Doo 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 doosh doo doosh. You gotta follow it with a kick. Ba dum ba da ba da ba da bum bum.
Vrikum katoom katoom ba da.
You gotta put a bass drum in it. Like slowing it down like ba da oom ba da oom ba da oom ba da oom ba oom ba oom boosh. Got it? Throwing a bass drum in every part.
Here's mine, and I'm particularly proud of at the end when it gets back into it. You ready?
Yeah. He just starts, the drums just start crushing.
Hey, but, Tags, if I want to buy a set of drums, my secret hope is that Indigo will take drum lessons, but she's a little too young.
Mm-hmm.
If I want an entry level, because secretly maybe I kind of want to play the drums in our house. If I want an entry level kit, I don't want to buy a set of pearls that I don't deserve. What is a good, solid, like, welcome to drums? Well, you'll probably play for 3 months and sell them on Kijiji.
You can find, always good to look for old quality drums. But,
really?
But getting back to my point, it was the Village Studios,
The
Village in Los Angeles, the Village Studios.
Crazy.
The Village Recorder is what it used to be called. But they had this, like, when Fleetwood Mac did the Tusk album, which was after Rumours, when they were in their crazy binges and doing rails all day and
had the gear
everybody
out.
Everybody was fucking everybody, and there was just turmoil everywhere, and it took forever and cost millions of dollars. They built that studio, and there was one room that they built in there, and it was all cement walls, like 20 feet high on each side, just a small, you know, a little, you know, I don't know, like 12 by 24 or 12 by 12 or something, like a room you could fit a drum set basically into. But that was, and it was all concrete. So like if you got inside it and clapped, it was like this massive reverb, insanity. The reverb was crazy.
So is that what makes that feel so tight?
And that he set up those concert toms in that room and just did the boodoom 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 boom boom boosh. They might have even recorded the kick separately, but he did those concert toms fills in that room, and that was where they did that record.
Wow, so he wouldn't have done the whole drum track in that room, just that fill.
Maybe just the toms, yeah, because it doesn't, but he probably set up the kit in there, to be honest, because it just sounds like a live track. Everything has that same
wet
air around it. It's not wet, it's air, full on reverb.
Like in the air tonight.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. It's horny bad.
So you're saying high-end drums, even old, is better than a brand new Long and McQuaid styles.
Yep, and just keep an eye on the Kijijis for the old drums.
Like what are some brands that I should look for?
Well, I mean, you can find old, I don't know, 70s, 60s, anything from the 70s or 60s or early 80s were quality. Whether it be, you know, old, like Ludwig kits or, you know, vintage Slingerland kits. It's just drums, vintage drums aren't nearly as expensive as guitars. So you can find some pretty amazing things.
Crazy.
Reasonable stuff, yeah.
And do you have to get into like resurfacing or reskinning or whatever that's even called?
Well, no, you just need, heads are just you take the lug off and throw on a new head. That's no big deal. But, you know, the shells are usually in great shape because nothing happens to them. They don't get hit, right? So you can, and like I said, they don't go up. So you can find cool old drum sets in your neighborhood, probably, especially in the East Coast, for a few $100.
Why do you say especially on the East Coast? I would think, obviously,
because people like play Toronto, music more there. There's more of a, I think people play live music more in the East Coast. And maybe a generation or two ago here, they played more music. But not nowadays, it's just not, you don't see instruments in people's houses.
Used mouth organ.
Yeah. Trade you
for a bag of salt vinegar chips.
Salt and Vincent's, I have a bag of tour.
I have a bag of Lay's Salt and Vincent's on standby for as a little treat ski when we're finished.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but I didn't want to be crunching in your ear. We got our first festive special of the season last night.
Crunch, crunch, crunch.
Got our first festive specials of the season last night. Got them home. Yep. We were really excited.
Come on.
They forgot the dressing. They forgot the dressing.
Didn't it just start yesterday?
I don't know if it was yesterday. Like, it's not like we were in line when they changed the sign.
Well, that's what it seemed like. It's like, the festive special's on. Let's go. But what is it? It's like, I thought you could care less about the Lindor balls.
Yeah, I'm not crazy for them. I'm a Toblerone guy from way back. Toblerone announced this week that they're changing the size and quantity.
Yeah, have you seen that? Toblerone.
I haven't seen the new shape.
They took out some triangles because they're running low on costs. They got to figure it out.
Really?
Yeah, figure it out. If you look at their Twitter, it's just consistently, that's that bar. I'm sorry. That's that bar. The other ones are the same. That's that size of a bar. Everything is fine. And then early, if you keep going back, it eventually says, because of cost problems, which is pretty, that's dark days when you got to change the shape of your shit.
So what did they do? It's still a triangle, but it's just less pieces?
No, there's one less triangle. It goes like triangle, and then it's flat, and then another triangle, so there's a space. It's like they took every other triangle out. The odds got fucked.
too bad.
What the fuck did you do with the odds and the Toblerone?
I mean, it was big. Nobody needed a log-sized chocolate bar. And no. Really, if you're going to put that in your stocking, that was everything that was in there.
Yeah, and it wasn't like you ate the whole thing. And it's, I mean, you make it one way, and then you say because of costs. It's just, it's a bummer. It's kind of bummer and greasy-like.
We have so much to talk about. As you know, we're going away this weekend, but a SWAT team is staying at our house.
Yeah, and...
We're going to Germany.
No, but you're going so far away.
We're going to Germany and we're going to Croatia.
Yeah.
But the thing that I'm most excited about is on the flight from Berlin to Zagreb, we stop in Switzerland.
Zagreb.
We stop in Zagreb, but we stop in Switzerland, and I'm really fired up to get chocolate, Swiss chocolate in Switzerland.
Yeah.
That must be tight.
I've had it.
You must have. Yeah, you've been there.
Yeah. But it's just, when you're actually in Europe, everything is so close that the imported stuff from each of those places is badass.
Yeah,
you
right.
Get it right away.
Yeah. Have you been to Berlin before?
Yeah, I love Berlin. It's amazing.
What should we do there? Cool.
Well, I mean, there's like the art galleries are insane. That's kind of the best thing about Berlin is it's the... I guess the best of the best in terms of artists and pushing the envelope in terms of that. Yeah. So, I would do that, but just walking around, getting a feel for it, maybe hitting the,
Brandenburg
taking
Gate.
A walk around the Reeperbahn, seeing where the Beatles had cut their teeth there.
It's pretty exciting.
Doing
a bit of work in Germany and then going to Croatia
Club,
for
I think it's
fun.
I've the Star Club, I believe, is where they got her going there. But imagine playing like twice a day, all week, 7 nights a week.
Crazy.
And they were on speed just to keep up, and they just ended up just being maniacs. That's where they got all their chops, and that's why they were such a great live act when they blew up, and they could play in Shea stadiums with just. No monitors and sound great still. Have you heard any of that stuff of the 65 tour on HBO?
No, I know about the Shea Stadium show and they couldn't hear each other and they couldn't hear themselves, but they sounded great.
Yeah, there was, because there was no way of hearing them. There was just the PA and the PA was completely, opposite because it was bounced off the massive crowd far away from you. So you just had this slap back. I can't imagine, but they killed it. They still sounded awesome. Like, that's how great that band was. They just kind of closed their eyes and felt
Close
for the
your
vibrations.
Eyes and I'll kiss you.
Yeah. No, the Beatles.
There's too much slapback.
Dig that out.
There's too much slapback in the
air. How about
ears.
That? Everyone's doing the mannequin thing on the internet. What about that?
What is that?
Everyone's standing in one place, and they do the 360. Everyone's like stuck in a position.
Oh yeah, I
the
saw
mannequin
that. I saw
challenge.
The Hillary on the campaign plane.
That's the big fucking thing now. Everybody's doing that.
It's kind of dope.
You know when you saw Paul McCartney did it? He's like at the piano. He's like the Black Beatles. I don't know what the fuck he's talking about, and he's just standing there, and they're like. He's just like, I want to get a piece of this new hashtag. Let's do it. Probably hanging out in his house.
I'm sure we talked about it before. Did you see him when he was at the ACC?
He killed it. Oh, he's always the best.
Man. He played 3 hours. The crowd was tired. And then he started playing the hits.
Yeah, exactly. And then they got all horny.
Unbelievable. And every song was like, oh my God, of course.
Yeah.
Oh my God, of course.
Yeah, how do you go and take a piss when Hey Jude starts?
I know.
Although I saw Bob Dylan at the Phoenix in Toronto, and I went to take a leak, and he started playing that Everybody's Gotta Get Stoned jam.
Yeah.
And he played every hit. I was like standing out there. He was like... He doesn't play the same thing twice, and I appreciate his whole stance with the Nobel Prize thing and the fact that he is how he is, and he really is like such a knowledgeable person, but he does everything, he doesn't do anything the same way twice, so that's why his songs are always crazy and don't sound anything like the album. He just likes to just flow. But he could also, like, transcribe at the drop of a hat to whatever key you're doing. Or, you know, he could, musician-wise, like, the guy knows everything. So it's scary, that the talent there. He's kind of like a prince. Bob Dylan's very similar.
Minnesota, Bob's a big Lightfoot fan, right? And Lightfoot, in that interview with Alec Baldwin, was talking about how, like, different climates have an impact
on the water. Yes, in Minnesota. Like, look at Joni Mitchell. She's not far from there. She knows, like, tunings.
And it's like octaves and fifths. So I tune when we land, but it's different every place.
Yeah, yeah. People that have an understanding of the cold, I don't know what it is, but Minnesota, Bob Dylan and Prince were very similar in terms of their range of musical abilities.
Like, and in terms of their hair.
Yeah.
Their hair is not dissimilar. Maybe it's a Minnesota thing.
Like when you see Prince with the fro going, those pictures.
Oh, yeah.
Bob Dylan, early 60s. Yeah.
Wouldn't it be funny if Prince talked like a Minnesotan? Like Simple Plan, fantastic. Like during his sound check?
Yeah.
There's too much slop back.
Oh, like my Prince. God. Guys, hey, guys, turn it down. Turn it down. It's way too loud. Let's take a break here.
We're just getting her going. Stay with us.
Do you remember that, Canindianity?
I'm listening. What is that?
Student Bodies.
Oh, man.
It was a show on, I think it was on YTV. Yeah. And it was about this new girl in a school and the dude that wanted to impress her. And he was a cartoonist. And so half the show was cartoon.
Oh, man.
Brutal. And it was about the newspaper they ran at their school.
Yeah.
She went on to, I think she's a DJ. Nicole Lynn is her name. And she was with the dude from the West Wing.
There you go. While.
And then the other guy in the show, Ross something, is a meteorologist in the GTA.
Oh, there! Wow. Like a local television affiliate then.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Oh, yeah. Good. So it was a whole thing.
Yeah.
Okay, here's my... I have a few Canindianity.
Oh, yeah. You got. Yeah, let's get back to that.
And they're fun because they have good play along.
Yeah.
Here's the first one.
Okay.
I was a radio DJ. Then I had a good TV show. I'm a... was actually not too bad at tennis back in high school, if you can believe it, looking math.
That's Stu Jeffries right there.
Yeah, that Stu is Jeffries.
The Stu Bomber.
Okay, next one. I was a much music personality. I could have been in a Vidal Sassoon commercial. I'm a Magic the Gathering at my place this weekend, guys. Looking math.
Steve Anthony?
Close.
Michael Williams.
Curlier hair, longer hair.
Bill Walichka.
Yes. Magic the Gathering at my place this weekend.
Oh, wow.
I'm really into labels. Fashion is my obsession. I'm a top 5% sales force at Danier Leather for 10 years in a row, looking
back. Jeannie Becker?
Yeah. Good one. I'm not a cop, but I play one on TV. I was a headstone.
Oh.
I'm standing over your shoulder while you wash my Impala. You missed a spot, looking math.
You, Dylan.
Yes.
Yo, bastard.
You're really on fire.
You, Dylan. I remember those guys opened up for OLP someday in Ottawa or something. They crushed the whole rider, and it was him for sure.
Did they?
Yeah. And I heard he went around, like, apologizing to everybody when he was sober. And
yeah, he got clean. And,
he never fucking apologized for crushing our whole rider.
Really? Like, all your crackers and cheese and
everything? Yeah, it was almost like that Seinfeld episode when he goes expecting him to say sorry for that, and he doesn't.
So by the time you guys showed up...
I'm like... Hey, you, remember that show in Zaphod's in Ottawa? You guys fucking crushed their old rider? Yeah, I remember that. Anyway, I got to get on stage instead of like, I'm fucking sorry for being an asshole and crushing your whole rider.
Well, I think of the things that he would have to apologize for, he'd probably be the first to tell you that was about the least offensive thing he did.
In Seinfeld, isn't it James Spader who plays that character? And George is looking for some ridiculous, stretched out his shirt or something, the neck hole.
So, if you're on stage, okay. So the headstones were opening for you guys.
Yeah.
Do you arrive at the venue at the same time?
You come in as they're on, but like by the time we got to the thing, everything was gone. Yeah.
So they're in the room first with all your cheese.
Well,
cubes.
No, they were in their own room, but they came over to our room and crushed the booze. Yeah, it's greasy. It's not a It wasn't like you're invited and like you can stay here. They crushed their own and then came into ours and took the beer there.
What happens when you show up and there's nothing?
Then you go, what the fuck? Like, and we didn't care, but like it was just one of those things. Like, what the fuck? Like, come on, you got to drink everybody's beer, like. Can't you go buy some out front if you gotta buy another case?
Wow.
Yeah. So there you go. It's hanging over their heads from day one still to now.
But they're back out road banging.
Huh?
They're back out there road banging.
Yeah. And he's like doing voiceovers for Toyota or something.
Oh, I crushed it.
Making big coin, six figures for talking on the radio.
Well, he was, first of all, he's on Flashpoint.
Yeah.
And he was on another show on Global that was like a limited series, creepy cop, small town thing.
Yeah.
And now he's on Company X on CBC, but he also was doing, it was like he was Chev Canada's voice.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He paid him a handsome sum of money.
Dude, he bounces from one to the other. He's all set. Don't worry about old Hugh.
The only thing was he could, we'll pay you this much, but you can't do any other voiceover work.
Yeah.
I had a voiceover agent. And I did 400 auditions, and every time they'd say, we're just looking for guy next door kind of voice.
Yeah.
So I'd be like, cool, the new Saturn VUE. And then you'd hear it on the radio, and it's like, the new Saturn.
Yeah.
It's that Hugh Dillon perv styles.
That's it.
I just wish I had one of those character voices like, Chevy, like a rock. One of those like, Smucker's Jam kind of voices. Because those guys crush
it. I know. I like hearing Lloyd Robertson at 10:10.
What?
Yeah, he does, like Lloyd Robertson. Just you hear him once in a while talking about this is News Talk 10:10.
Really?
Yeah.
News Talk 10:10. Okay, here's the last one.
Okay.
I carved extreme slopes in Aspen. I played a Dudley Do-Right type bot. It's weird. Ever since Aunt Trudy met Nate on the rebound, we haven't even heard from her. Looking mavk.
You got to hit me again with that one.
I carved extreme slopes in Aspen.
Yeah.
I played a Dudley Do-Right Mountie type bod on TV. And it's weird. Ever since Aunt Trudy met Nate on the rebound, we haven't really heard from her. Looking mavk.
Paul Gross?
Yes. How did you nail that?
I love how it went to like, I want to hear it again, as in like there's no way I'll get it, to just crushing it.
I know.
Paul Gross, the Grant King. Hey, you want a grant? Yeah. There's a grant for that. Paul Gross.
Paul Gross and Mike Myers both have white hair now.
Oh, you want to do this passion deal, you call it? How much is it going to cost? $80 million? No problem, bot. Here you go.
Blank check city, bot. Blank check city.
Oh, you want to go to Nice to get it right?
You want to do your audio post in Nice? Sure, we'll foot the bill for that.
We got you, bot. You're Paul Gross.
I feel like
it's in the gross.
I feel like it would be remiss of us to not talk about the election. Obviously, we talked about it in the episode that we had to throw out, but for the buds, This is the first time that we've addressed
what the Trump happened.
Vicious attacks on freedom. Yeah,
yeah. And it sucks, but now I think it was that we talked about it last week, and the idea of that angry vote, the person that they're not necessarily a bad person, they don't go as far as thinking about what the fact that Donald Trump said racist things or you know, misogynistic things, or they didn't even look that far. They figured everybody in politics is greasy anyway. I just want to see something happen. That same kind of concept in Toronto with Rob Ford times a million is what exactly happened. And, I mean, after it all, it just turns out that Hillary wasn't, like, the America wasn't buying what she had to sell. I mean, the turnout and votes were ridiculous. If you look at the last 2012 and you know, from Barack's first appointment to the last, there was like double, triple Democrats voting for the first term in Barack Obama's presidency, and, you know, at least a third more Democrats, and just a little bit less Republicans voted this time compared to Romney. Like, Romney got more votes than Trump did, but the Democrats just didn't show up. And here they are marching in the streets trying to stop it, but it's too little too late at this point. I mean, the fact that...
Don't they say 49%, the worst lead in hockey is 4-2?
Yeah, 49% of the people didn't vote. So
that's the thing.
Fucking, you
deserve
it. The
worst lead in hockey is 4-2 because you take your foot off the gas because you think you've won it. And one of the first thoughts I had was about the Saturday Night Live writer's room, because they've been having so much fun for the last few weeks with the notion that Hillary's going to win. It's a one-inch putt. It's done.
Yeah.
And he looks like such a buffoon. And imagine trying to write the show for this weekend, because it's suddenly really not funny.
Yeah. No, it's
and
terrible.
And so I think people didn't vote because they maybe assumed she would win.
Yeah.
And he, to his credit, did rallies. Like, how many... Did he do 5 rallies a day?
Well,
for
it's
the
not
last
even
three or
that.
4 days?
It's honestly, like, because if you look at the turnout, I mean, the Republicans just kind of were a little bit less than last time, and closer to, you know, 2008, where if you look at it, it just there was no Democrats. All of a sudden, the Democrats disappeared, and it tells me that just they didn't believe in Hillary, or they felt that she just wasn't up for it, and or her past or whatever, her decision making skills and the slight things that came out that were against her. I mean, I bet you Bernie Sanders, if he got through, would have had a better chance, or Biden if he had ran, you know, because if you look at it, like, if Obama had done exactly what he had done last time, he would have won twice over for the amount of votes that he had. So it's clearly, it's not about all of a sudden all these, you know, I'm sure it was older people and older white men mostly, and a lot of women that voted for Trump, but a lot of younger people voted for Hillary, but the older people between 25 and 40 just weren't voting for her. It just didn't work. They just either sat at home or didn't care, voted for someone else and fucked themselves.
Well, Carol said that even a good percentage of Trump's voters were ashamed to admit that out loud.
Yeah.
And that might have been part of the sneak attack. But the scary and tragic and terrible thing is, I mean, Trump's Let's Make America Great Again sounds to me, in parentheses, like back the way it used to be, i.e. before the face of the country changed.
No, but even more shitty, because there was no perfect time. There might have been a blip in the 50s just because everyone had a job. That's it. It's not like...
Yeah, but it's really scary culturally that people... That resonated with people.
No,
that
I know.
Really,
and that's 1%, landed. You know, one side of the country where if you ask any ethnicity, there was no time in the history of America where it was great for black people or for Hispanic people. Or, you know, it was always consistently horrifying. And I mean, the fact that people were buying into the concept, I think it has more to do with people that were in unions and lost that, or, you know, in jobs that they had a reasonable means and it stopped. And they feel that's not available to them anymore. And that's a lot of people, if you think about it. It doesn't have to be a certain demographic. It's really about the idea of those people being, you know, just it's you know how like if you're a small time guy that wanted what your dad had and yeah. are pissed off. That's exactly what it has become. It's nuts.
But the thing that scares me is the type of voter, and this is a generalization because not every voter person that voted for Trump is like that. Some, like you say, just thought he was the devil they didn't quite know. She was the devil they knew and didn't like. But the thing that scares me is, as I've said to you before, Barack ran on hope. And that is that really resonated with people, but it's an abstract. And it's easier to make an argument that you've made inroads towards giving people hope. You know, we've created this many jobs, we're trying to do this, whatever. The things that Trump ran on as promises, a wall, getting rid of Muslims, putting Hillary in jail, those are tangible, tactile fence posts to which they can hold him accountable. And when he doesn't deliver on those, because he can't, how are those people going to react? Because it's not a, oh, well, you know, I guess he tried. These people, most of them, want a wall.
Mm-hmm. No, I know. That's the next part that's crazy is like, he's gotten where he was by being basically an asshole, and why would he change that? You know.
I know, but now he has to try to.
Oh, I know.
You know, say let's unite the country because I'm America's president.
But uniting
but the
country,
people that voted for him don't want that.
No, I know. They would be more pissed. The fact that he's trying to appease other people all of a sudden that would you know that's why it's similar to the Rob Ford thing, you know, in Toronto. Where somebody voted somebody in to try and change everything, and nothing happened. Zero happened. Not one thing. There was no major anything.
Which may ultimately be what happens with Trump, too.
Yeah, really that's hard the thing. Once you bring him in, you still have to pass all these things, and there's no chance that's going to happen with all
It'll be interesting to see how fast the Republicans that had washed their hands of him will rally behind him now, which is really gross in and of itself.
Yeah.
But he has said, like, I'm going to undo everything Obama did in the first 100 days. That's the promise that he made, and that is a tactile statement.
No, I know.
And after 100 days, if it's not done, people can be like, wait a sec, you promised. No. And I know politicians are wishy-washy, but generally speaking, they're not as brash.
Yeah. And the concern is like the 20... million people that were being helped with Obamacare aren't anymore.
Yeah.
And there's a whole new change to that. And
he doesn't really believe in climate change. And Pence believes in reversion therapy for gays. Like it's really backwards.
Yeah.
And a lot of communities are understandably very scared. But ultimately, and I've said this to you before too, a system that takes 2 years to whittle it down to two candidates that everybody isn't sure about, and then the person who won, who had the most votes, didn't win the election.
Yeah.
Maybe ultimately it's time for the system to be revisited.
I'll tell you,
because it clearly doesn't work.
I'll tell you what it's time for. It's time for hello.
It's time for hello.
Yeah. Can we hear it?
This is a game born out of the way I answered the phone when you called. Yeah. Because the way I said hello struck you funny.
Yeah.
And because you laughed, it made me laugh too.
Yeah.
So we'll give each other a couple scenarios, and all you have to do is answer the phone the way you would in this scenario.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
So you are Joe Vanelli.
We can't get the jam, but I'm Joe Vanelli. I'll be happy to be Joe Vanelli.
You're Joe Vanelli. Yeah. I'll dig up the jam for the next one.
Okay.
You're Joe Vanelli,
yeah.
And you ask Gino not to borrow your black T-shirt because it just came out of the dryer and it was good to go. And your black T-shirt is gone, and this is Gino calling you to explain. It's a lot to cram into one hello. You dig it?
My jean jacket's gone?
No, your black T-shirt. I took it.
Okay.
And it's perfect. It was your perfect one.
All right.
And you have a date with Shelly tonight. Oh, okay. Okay, here it comes. So you're coming in hot. This here it comes.
This is before the time of call ID, so we don't know who it is.
Bring. Bring.
Hello! Hey!
You just want to fight with whoever's
fucking
on the other
end of the line. Fucking my T-shirt. Where is it, man? You take my T-shirt. My favorite one. I got a date with Shelly tonight. Come on.
Come on.
You got to take my shirt back. God damn it. It's good enough.
Come on. You got other shirts.
It's good. You know how good that shirt is? It's fucking good enough for Gino to wear on stage tonight. That's how good it is.
Come on. Wear a gray one. Wear a white one.
He's doing two sets at the Copa. And I'm sitting at home without my shirt.
Joe, I will buy you another shirt. I'm going to buy you a shirt. I just needed your black one.
You steal a guy's shirt every single time. I tell you what. How you like it if you play your show without your favorite microphone?
It's a totally different thing.
I never met Shelly before. I don't know nothing about it. I know that if I'm in that shirt, I feel confident. I got nothing now.
Well, I can tell you something already. She's using you to get to me. Oh, okay. So why don't I got your shirt on? Why don't I just go on the date?
You know what she said? She says your hair's too curly. She doesn't like that fucking curly hair you got. You bastard.
I can get a haircut. You still look like a schmuck.
You got curly hair, and I don't. I got the clean locks of dad.
I'm going to tell you one more time. Wear a gray shirt. Wear a white shirt. Whether Shelly likes you or not.
You know what? I don't give a shit. I got a new Varnay shirt that's better than all of that shit.
I don't give a shirt. Take care, Joe. Have a good night.
See you later, Gino. Fuck off.
I got so heated so fast.
Yeah, the brothers are hot.
They're hot, just like the mic. We'll play more Hello next week. What do you say?
I love Hello. Let's play it more next week for sure.
Me too.
Yellow!
Good chatting, bot.
Nice chatting. Boom, gong, gang, go, ki, ding, gong. Ju, bong, 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 bong